Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our meditation this morning is based on the gospel lesson that was just read, where Jesus is talking with his disciples and actually drilling down from last week's gospel, because last week Jesus told his disciples that he is the vine and they are the branches. So to be a disciple, you need to be connected to Christ. You need to be in a relationship with him. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So anyone who's not connected to Christ is like the branch that's withered because it's not connected to the vine. It dies and is worthless and is thrown out. Any of you who like gardening, you can go and see when you're pruning and you see how the bush has live branches, but then there's some that are kind of falling off, and so they cut them off and you throw them out. And anyone who's not connected to Christ is lost forever in their sins. There's only one way to salvation, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we are connected, we are called to bear fruit, which shows ourselves to be his disciples. You see, the base of Christianity is Christ, the eternal Son of God, who came down from heaven to take on human flesh, to die in our place for our sins, was raised from the dead in space, time, history. This is a fact. We have a personal, infinite God who loves us so much that he sacrificed his only begotten Son for the sins of the world. Now, we all know that up here. It's another thing from knowing it in the heart, that trust and that faith. You see, this is only a reality if we are in that personal, infinite relationship with the risen Jesus. In other words, we need to be connected to the vine. And that relationship comes through faith in his promise. Jesus desires to have relationship with you. He wants you to be connected to him. He wants to be Lord of your life. And as St. Paul says in Galatians, and I love this verse, for it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Let me say that again. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, if you're connected to Christ, he lives in you. I can remember back when I was in high school as a 16, 17-year-old teenager. I was raised Lutheran. I was confirmed, but then I happened to wander and kind of fall away. You know, the friends and the bad things you can get into. And then I kind of came to the end of my rope as a junior in high school. And I was in a class, and there was a friend of mine who had been going to this InterVarsity Fellowship, or Fellowship for Christian Athletes. And he kept telling me, let Christ control your life. Let Christ be Lord of your life. What do you mean? I would say, I believe in God, but I'm down here and I'm in charge. I need to manage things. I have the right doctrine. But he kept saying to me, and he would, this is the verse in Galatians. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And it was as if a light bulb went off in my head. And wow, I began to read the Bible. And the Bible just came just, wow, unto me. I mean, just opened up the Word of God in a different way. I realized Jesus Christ was real. Not something in a static box, but a life-giving relationship that he desired to have with you. But then you might say, how do I know I'm connected to Christ or not? Sometimes that's a question we wrestle with all of our doubts, our fears, and our trials. Sometimes when we're down in the pits, or we wander off into sin, and a lot of times we don't feel connected to God at all, do we? I know I've been there. In this week's gospel, though, Jesus drills down with the disciples on how they can know for sure they're connected to the vine. The first thing he says in verse 26, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go bear much fruit." The disciples didn't choose God. God chose the disciples. Likewise, we don't choose God. God chooses us. That's a pretty awesome thing. We can rest in that. God chose me. And Paul says in our epistle that Bob just read in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Think about that for a minute. God chose you before the creation of the world. Oh, come on. Yeah. In love, it says, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, the vine, in accordance with his pleasure and will. That's pretty awesome. So God chose you before the foundation of the world. The Almighty Creator, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit claimed you to be his very own before anything was created. And then in verse 11, Paul says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." Now, sometimes Paul says a lot of things like, what in the world is he talking about here? How many of you like to claim an inheritance? How many of you have? It's kind of nice, isn't it? But we have claimed an inheritance because we're chosen by God. Because of the counsel of his will. In other words, he gives us all the spiritual blessing. The Greek word for predestined means it was according to God's choice, God's will, and his pleasure. We had nothing to do with it. We were chosen by him. It was 100% God's work. I think that's pretty awesome. And then in verse 13, Paul says of our epistle, listen to this, "You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who's a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it." God gave you a down payment in your baptism. It's like when you buy a house. You put a down payment on the property, right? It's guaranteeing yours at closing. So nobody else can come in and say, well, you signed the contract, you gave them the down payment, the 10% or whatever it is. No one else can come in and say, well, I want more money for that. No, it's done. It's sealed. It's guaranteed. And you go to closing, you get the keys. Likewise, God put a down payment on you in your baptism, claiming you as his very own and gifted you with the Holy Spirit as your down payment for salvation. So when you feel not connected to God and when things are going awry, you can know that God chose you before the foundation of the world, that God has put his Holy Spirit into you to live in you. That's one of the ways we know we're connected. Then Jesus chooses us for joy. He says to the disciples, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." God chooses us for joy. That my joy may be in you, complete. And again, we have the word for joy, and we think, obviously, happy and smiling. But the Greek word for joy not only means gladness, but grace. Something gifted to you. Something that is planted inside of you. Joy is a sense of well-being in the midst of trials and tribulations. You can have the whole world caving in on you, but I'm joyful. Why? Because I trust in the promises of God. And I know that all things are going to work together for good. Why? Because he chose me and he lives in me. He's never going to abandon me or let me go. King David says in Psalm 16, Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Joy is not just happiness. And we like to equate it with happiness. The world's happiness is fleeting. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But true happiness is in Christ and knowing his benefits and having that relationship with him. Jesus promised us his joy would be in us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Our Christian lives need to reflect that joy. We have a great God who has everything under control, in knowing that nothing can separate us from his love. That's joy, even in the midst of the worst of times. And then God, he says to his disciples, God chooses us not only for joy, but for love. Jesus said in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So because we are chosen by God and sent out into this world to love one another, sometimes it doesn't always work out that way, does it? Often because of our sinful nature, we become turned inward. We lack love toward one another. We would rather worry about our investments or speak harshly to our spouse and children, focusing our resources on ourselves than on others, turning away the other eye from people who are in need. Oh, and we know who they are. Oh, we can have the correct doctrine and theology. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you right now, if we don't love, our faith is of no value. John says in his first epistle, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. But whoever loves his brother lives in the light. And then Jesus says in John 13, by this all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I don't know about you, but I've never seen so much anger and resentment in our culture today. Everything seems polarized, right? Just anger and grind the teeth. We see the protests on the streets, and we see what's going on with this anti-Semitism. I don't even want to watch the news anymore. Whether you turn on Fox or CNN, it seems that the media's main goal is to stir the pot of anger and hatred. But see, 1 John says that we're not to love with words, but in deeds and in truth. We have the truth of the Holy Spirit. That's how we are to love. We need to move beyond what the world says love is, which is a self-serving type of love. Loving one another means being sensitive to the hurts and joys of others, to understand the frustrations of our spouse and our children, to learn to listen rather than lecture. We need to be a people concerned for the welfare of others. When we get the full awareness of the love God had for us, by dying on the cross for our sins, from the Easter resurrection, and the love that he continues to still shower on us every day, even with the air that we breathe, we need to allow his love to love through us as children of God. Lastly, God chooses us to be his friends. I think this is interesting, because we just sang the song, I am a friend of God. Some people think, well, that's kind of bad theology. No, it's not. That Jesus said. He said, I'm calling here. Here it is right here. Verse 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. And the same with us, all that Jesus has heard from the Father, he makes known to us. because we have the Spirit of truth. You know, in the Bible, to be a servant of God, we think, is to be one of God's elites. The great spiritual heroes like Moses, David, Joshua, or even the Apostle Paul. Wait a minute. Jesus here says he's offering far more than servanthood. He offers friendship. With his coming into the world, we have the privilege of being selected by him as his friends. Isn't that neat? No longer fear and dread. But as the old hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Our Jesus, a beautiful, loving friend who has taken your sin and my sin upon himself that we might be given, forgiven and free. A friend who watches over us and keeps us in his care. A friend who invites us to partake of himself in his body and blood. A friend who promises to always be with us, never leave us or forsake us. Now that's a friend, our Jesus. No longer a slave master who will condemn us. If we don't satisfy him, we don't have to work like crazy to please him, so he'll treat us well. Instead, he comes to you and to me to give us his Holy Spirit as a pledge and to say, you are forgiven. Amazing as it seems, we who are forgiven sinners have been hoisted up to the high places as God's friends. It's by his great mercy and love. His choice, not ours. So friends of God, because Jesus Christ has chosen us and lives in us, he is now our friend. So let's love one another and share his joy.